We got money. He said, so we can't say, silver and gold have I none anymore. But Thomas looked at him and says, and neither can we say what follows, but such as what I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So what St. Thomas Aquinas was saying, yeah, we got money, but we can't say that we have the power that Jesus Christ has, which he left us with. So I'm here today to tell you that we might have some things around this church, but we need to have the power that Jesus Christ gave us when he left. Amen? Hallelujah. So you're wondering why you're going through things, because you're not exerting the power that Jesus Christ has left us with. Amen? Sometimes we look at churches and we look at ministerial successes as all the millions of dollars and the hundreds and thousands of people sitting in the pews. But that's not how God measures success. God has a very different standard for determining what constitutes a successful ministry. You see, I want us to have a successful ministry in here. So what am I saying? I'm not saying that we need millions of dollars. I'm not saying that we need to have the pews all filled up for us to be successful. My success that I'm praying for is that the power of God is in this place. Amen? So when somebody walks in here, they feel the spirit of a living Holy Ghost. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark, the ninth chapter. And we're going to go from verse 14 to 29. Amen? Mark, the ninth chapter, verses 14 to 29. And what we're going to read, I'm sure that you've read this before. You've heard the story before. You know it like the back of your hand. But there's something about this story that I'm not sure that you do know. And the Spirit of the Lord said, this is what you have to say today. So when you have your Bibles open, say amen. And it says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter him no more. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and was one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer this can't come out of him or anybody else except by prayer, and fasting. Amen? So in this passage, Jesus teaches us the most important ingredient of a successful ministry. The disciples lacked that ingredient, and they failed miserably. You see, we are told in verse 18 of this text that the disciples failed in their attempt to cast out a demon from the boy. The father summed up their efforts by saying, "And they could not." So my message today is, "And they could not." And Jesus was right. The man was right. He brought his son, hoping to find some help for his family. But he found that these men who were the disciples had little to offer. They could not. But why did they fail? They failed because they lacked spiritual power. They lacked spiritual power because they were missing that one ingredient that assures spiritual power. So what I'd like to do is let's look at these verses today, because we need the message that this verse is teaching us. Because we're here in these dark and sinful days trying to carry on the Lord's work. And you know what? Sometimes we could not. We lack the necessary ingredient for spiritual success. But I want to help today unpack what these verses are telling us. Amen? Because I want to continue to preach on that phrase, that they could not. I want to point out what the lack of spiritual power is. I want to point out the Lord of spiritual power. I want to point out the lessons of spiritual power. Amen? So if I ask you today, I went through something this week, and I was sitting here in the church, and I hadn't eaten all day. So some people were coming on Monday, and I was sitting in the office, and somebody came in and said, "What is that you're eating?" I said, "I'm eating rice and beans because I haven't had anything to eat all day." And they said, "Are you still on your fast?" I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Because I want something to happen. I want something to happen. When am I going to get off of it? I don't know, because I want something to happen. So I'm not just praying, I'm fasting." You see, because we started fasting in the beginning of this year. But when they said begin, you began. And when they said you could end it, you ended it. But did you get in that time period what you were looking for? Did you get the answer from Christ that you were looking for? Did you get relieved of that burden that you were in fasting and praying for? If you didn't, you should still be fasting. So I'm still fasting because I want God. I'm asking him. I'm begging him. I'm on bended knees for change. Not just in me, not just in First Lady, but in my family and in this church and in everybody that comes into the church. Because when they come in, I want them to feel the power of a living God through the Holy Spirit that's in this church. I want them to say, "I visited a church today." They said, "Oh, you went to church today?" No, I want them to say, "I went to a church today." "Oh, you went to church?" No, I went to church today. And I met God there. I met the Holy Spirit there. It was something like I hadn't experienced in a long time. Maybe it's something that I never experienced. But I went to church today. And I know that there's a living God. And I know that the Holy Spirit is alive and well. So let me set this up for you. You see, in the verses that we didn't read, in verses 1 to 13 of this chapter, Jesus has taken Peter, James, and John up to the high mountain. Amen? And he was transfigured in front of them. Amen? This was a heavenly state that he was in. The Bible tells me that all of a sudden his face was glowing. Amen? Like the sun. He didn't take everybody, but he took these three with him. So he had 12 disciples. He took three of them up, and 9 was down there. Amen? He took 25% of the disciples with him. So the 75% that were there, they had seen Jesus work miracles. They were there. They had seen it. He left 9 disciples down below. Amen? The 3 that went up with him, they knew that this was the Christ. Because all of a sudden, they seen Elijah. And they saw Moses come down and speak to Jesus. They saw them tell Jesus exactly what was going to go on when he died on the cross. They heard it. They were eyewitnesses. They were blessed beyond measure. But lo and behold, when Jesus and these 3 come down, they see the other 9 being attacked and mocked. Amen? I don't know about you, but if I leave 75% of something somewhere, I expect for them to hold the fort. Amen? I expect for them to hold their own against everything. Amen? So when they arrived back down in the valley, they came face to face with a world that was struggling under a demonic force. Listen, when you're on top of the mountain, enjoy that glory that you go through, because there's going to be a valley down below. Amen? Last Sunday, we were on a mountaintop. We were in our glory. God was here. But you got to know that soon after that, there was going to be a valley. There was going to be some demonic force at work. The devil was going to try to do something. So when you're there, enjoy it. Relish it. And don't ever let it go. Because the devil was ready for you when you get back. They went up to the mountaintop. They enjoyed the experience, this heavenly blessed experience. But when Jesus came down, he saw with those 3, he saw the 9 others arguing with all of the scribes of the day. It seems like he said, well, what's going on here? And out of the multitude, that means that there was a lot of people down there arguing with these folks. But out of all of them, out of the multitude, there was a distraught father who came and brought his demon-possessed son for Jesus to heal. But he knew Jesus wasn't there. Amen? As a matter of fact, the enemy knew that Jesus wasn't there. So he knew the other 9 was there. And he tells the man, bring your boy to these disciples and see what they can do for you. The enemy, I'm telling you right now, he's slick. What he was doing was planting the seeds of deceit and discernment and distraction into the man's heart. Amen? See, the devil knows when you're not spiritually ready. And he sets you up for failure. He sets your mind up to the faith that you have. All of a sudden, you start doubting whether or not what is real is real. So he has this father bring his demonic son down there. And he meets with the other 9. And he says to the 9, I brought him to you so you can get this demon out of him. Amen? But they couldn't cast out the demon. And everybody down there were mocking them because of their lack of power. Hallelujah. But then Jesus came and he said, what's going on here? Tell me what's going on here. Why are you bothering these disciples? So in the midst of their inability to do what Jesus has left them to do, he still arrives on time. he still arrives on that white horse. In the midst of whatever it is that you're going through, even though you might lack the power, you have faith in Jesus because he's still going to arrive on time. The Father tells Jesus, because he wanted an explanation. Jesus wanted to know what was going on. The Father describes in detail, not just detail, but agonizing detail, amen, the condition of his son. And everything that he talks about, he's not talking about this is how he used to be. He's talking about this is how he is right now. Our problems, our situations that we go through, they're a right now problem. But we got a right now God. Jesus is a right now Savior. Jesus is a right now Lord. Amen? The Father's language describes horrible, ongoing, demonic torment of his son. It is so sad, the details of what's going on with his boy. And Jesus just listens to the details. He voices his dismay over everything that he heard. Now, I want you to listen to this and pay close attention, because when you go to verse 19, he says, oh, amen? But he says, the word says, oh. Can you say that? Come on, say it. Do you hear how you're saying it? That's not how Jesus said it. That's not how Jesus said it. He said it because there was a pain in his soul. You ever had a pain in your soul? Can you say it like you got a pain in your soul? He said, oh, you faith generation. You can't see that if you just read the scripture and it says, oh, you faithless generation. Jesus was grief-stricken. Oh, you faithless generation. Don't forget that Jesus had just been on the mountaintop and now he came into the valley, and disappointment, frustration, disillusion, dismay had set in. So it wasn't oh. It was oh. Have you ever heard a mom wail at a hospital because something happened to her boy or her daughter? Oh! Have you ever heard a scream or a wail and you know that somebody was in pain? Oh! You understand what I'm saying? What Jesus must have felt? You ever left somebody to do something while you was away and you come back and it ain't done? Or they done messed it up? And you are mad and you're upset and you just want to give them a piece of your mind? Oh, you faithless generation. Sometimes we're in prayer. Things are going on in our life. We get down on our knees and we're wailing out to Christ. And we use that, oh, God, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord, oh, you faithless generation. Jesus was expressing his displeasure. Amen? To see that the ones, the very eyewitnesses that have been with him, that saw him feed thousands and thousands with just 7 loaves, 5 pieces of bread, 2 fish. You've seen me do that. But wait a minute. We're in Mark 9, right? If you go back to Mark 6, it says Jesus sent them out 2 by 2 to cast out demons. So they know that they had done it before. But now you're in another situation and you can't do it. So what does that mean? That means that you went and you cast out some demons, but you didn't meet one like this before. Sometimes we'll come across something and we'll do all right with it. And then you come across something that you can't do because you never met one like that before. Them disciples never met a demon like that one. Jesus is telling them, this kind of spirit, you got to get it out with prayer and fasting. There's some things that you got to get out with prayer and fasting. Prayer, just prayer, is not going to work. Needless to say, there's some spirits that I want out of here. So I'm praying, I'm fasting. The crowds gathered. You see how it happens? You see how it happens when we don't have the faith, when we're praying for something and it don't happen? One or two people is not going to come after you. It says the crowds. The crowds gathered around to mark the disciples. They were probably turning around and looking at all the people and said, oh, my God. Oh, my Lord, I've never been through this before. There's times that you're going to get in situations and a crowd is going to gather you around you. But it's at that time that you need to do some praying and some fasting because you want to come across something that you never came across before. Amen? Jesus sees this faith. And this lack of faith that he cries out, how much longer am I going to have to put up with you? You know Jesus was frustrated. He just heard about how he's going to die. He knew his time was going to be at hand. And he was probably saying, but Father, I don't know if I'm really ready to go yet. Maybe I need more time here. But then when he got down there and he seen all of this happening, he said, how much longer am I going to have to put up with you? Oh, ye faithless generation. Jesus was ready to go back to his Father's house. And the worst part of all of this is not the condition of the boy. It's not the spirit of those scribes around the disciples. It's not the anguish of the Father. The saddest part of this whole thing is the powerlessness of the disciples. Hallelujah. The powerlessness of the disciples. Amen? This is how we look sometimes as a church when we don't have the power. Because people come in here and they have demons, they have situations, and they leave out of here and they say, I went to church, but they could not. I remember a time, this church, at 6 o'clock in the morning, there was prayers going on. Before we had church, there were prayers going on before the people came in to church. When you came in, you could just feel the anointing all around. Now we gotta get fired up by praise and worship. Before you walk in the church, you were praising because you felt it. They were praying and they were singing outside of the door before you because you could feel the presence. Amen? Lacking the power to make a difference. As a result, these disciples lost face with the father of that boy. They lost face with all the multitudes that were around them. They lost face with Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Amen? You want to know something, church? We got everything that we need to exist. We have nice facilities to meet in. Somebody say amen. We got skilled people preaching and teaching and organizing the work of the church. Somebody say amen. We got enough money to do some of the things that we need to do. Somebody say amen. We got people that can fill up these pews. Somebody say amen. We got skilled laborers to do the jobs that's needed to do around this church. Somebody say amen. But what we need is the power of God in this church. Somebody say amen. When they walk in this building here, this building is making a promise that the Spirit of a living God is in here. When they go by outside, they look at the building and they say the Spirit of the living God is supposed to be in there. Somebody say amen. There's a needy world out there. And if the church says, this church says, if you need God, come in here, we'll help you get him. They say if your life is broken, we can show you how God can fix it. If your family is coming apart, come in here, let God put it back together again. If you're lost, we'll show you how you can be saved. That's what people see when they walk in the church, or they walk by the church, or they come into the church. The church makes a promise to the world that we are different than they are. Somebody say amen. This church makes a difference. It shows that we're supposed to care about people when they come in here. This church is supposed to say we're here for saved souls, to make disciples of all people. Somebody say amen. This church is supposed to represent the cross and the blood of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Somebody say we represent the power that God has to save souls and secure them from eternity. Somebody say amen. This church is supposed to represent that our lives are changed and we can change lives. Somebody say amen. We're supposed to represent Christ who died on the cross to set captives free. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen that God can free us from sin's bondage and give people a new life. Somebody say amen. Somebody say that we are committed to preaching and teaching and sharing and living out our lives in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Somebody say that we are the church, that we are called out assembly. Somebody say amen. We're a church. We're not a social club. We're the church. We're not an entertainment organization. We're a church. We're not supposed to be like them, but we are. We're the church. His power should be on us. We're a church. His truth should be within us. We're a church. He should be before us. We're a church. His word should guide us. So you wonder why we lack spiritual power? Are we doing those things? Oh, hallelujah. If the world can't come in here to get help for their condition, why bother? Why Bob? Can't we do bad all by ourselves? I did bad by myself. I came in here for help. Hallelujah. So when Jesus, now I want to get to the point where he is the Lord of spiritual power. You see, because when they come to the church and they say that they could not, Jesus always can. Jesus hears the story, the father's story, and he commands the boy to be brought to him. Now, let me tell you something about this. You see, when Jesus arrives, I know he did, but if Michael Jackson came in here, everybody would say, that's Michael Jackson. Amen? Because he's pretty recognizable. I know y'all run out, but you know. But you would recognize him. Amen? But let me tell you something. When Jesus arrives, the scripture tells me that when Jesus arrives, the demons recognized him. Hallelujah. When Jesus arrives, the demons recognize him. No matter what the demonic spirit going on around you, when Jesus arrives, the spirit, the demonic spirit will recognize him. So if the demon don't go, there ain't no Jesus. Now, ain't it just like the demon? When Jesus arrives and the demon recognizes Jesus, he attacks the boy again. Verse 20 says the child is gripped by convulsions. He wallows on the ground. He's foaming at the mouth. Oh, can you just see it? Wallowing on the ground, foaming at the mouth. It's a very pitiful scene. The child is on the ground. He's writhing with pain. And Jesus begins to question the father. You see, he already knows what's going on with the boy. Just like he already knows what's going on with you and me. But he questions the father. And I guarantee you that there was somebody in that crowd that was saying, why don't he take care of the boy? Don't he see what's going on? But he questions the father. He asks the father. He's attempting to overcome the father's lack of faith. Jesus says, well, you know, how long has the boy been this way? The boy's in pain. He's rolling. He's foaming at the mouth. He's spitting. How long has the boy been this way? The father says, been this way since he was a little boy. So that lets me know that this ain't a little boy. It's possibly a teenager. I don't know how old this boy is. But if he says that he was this way since he was little, that means he's not little any longer. And he's been dealing with this condition for years. He also tells Jesus, the father, that this boy is always attacked repeatedly. He says, the demon has tried to burn him to death. The demon has tried to drown him in the water. Then the father tells the true condition of his faith. He looks up at Jesus and says, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. There was an evolution going on here. There was another transformation and transition that happened here. Because when the father brought the boy to the disciples, he brought them for the disciples to heal them. Because he had faith. And they can't do do nothing. Now, when Jesus come along, he's saying, well, you know, what's going on here? What's happening with the kid? How long he's been like this? He's realizing and recalling and recounting everything that has gone on over these years. And he says, he's had this since he was a little boy, since he was little. Tried to set him on fire, this demon. He even tried to drown him. He probably had a tear in his eye, maybe some tears in his eyes. And then he's just like, this is my last resort. If you can, Jesus, if you come to pastor and you want pastor to pray for you, pastor, pray for you. Say, pastor, maybe you can pray for me and you help me out. But let me tell you something. When you go to Jesus, don't ask him if he can. Pastor will pray for you in the name of Jesus. The pastor can't do it. But when you come to Jesus, you have to believe and have faith and know that he can. This father, when he brought his boys to the 9 disciples, he was on the mountaintop with his faith, or else he wouldn't have brought them. And they couldn't do it, and now he was down in the valley. And he says to Jesus, if thou can't. If you can't do it, Jesus, then maybe you could just have a little sympathy for me. Maybe you could help me cry a tear. Maybe you could take a little pain with me while I cry and I holler, you cry and you holler, I know you with me. Let me explain something to you today. Jesus is not going to cry with you. He's not going to go over in pain with you because he done all of that already. He's done it all already. When you go to Jesus, have faith and know that he's going to. You see, what Jesus was doing, he was working on the man's faith before he did anything. Sometimes Jesus is working on your faith before he does anything. You want bang, zoom, pow, Jesus did it for you. He works on you. Oh, ye faithless generation. It's a pitiful plea from a pitiful man. The man trusted in the disciples, and now he trusted in the disciples more than he trusted in Jesus. Sometimes we trust in the doctors more than we trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, if thou can't do anything. When Jesus hears these words, he responds immediately. As a matter of fact, he was indignant. He says, what did you say? What do you mean if I can't do anything? What are you talking about? Are you talking to me? He said, believe. All things are possible to him that believe. Amen? So Jesus rebukes the father for his doubt and commands him to have his faith placed in Jesus. Some of us sometimes go through some things, and Jesus needs to rebuke us for us faithless generation before he's going to do something for us. Amen? Because the man looks at him and he says, Lord, I believe. He says, I believe. But then he says, help me. Help me with my faith. Some of us need to ask the Lord to help us with our faith. If you believe, he will do it for you. But you need help with your faith. And look at what Jesus does. He just tells the spirit, leave and don't return. Just go. Just get. That's all he has to do. Just go. Just get. There's something going on in your life today. You got to have the faith. And Jesus, all he's got to do is just say, just go to that spirit. Just get. I don't know where you're going, but you got to get out of him. You got to get out of her. You got to leave her children alone. You got to leave his marriage alone. You got to get. You got to go. I've been places where people have told me, I don't know where you're going, but you got to leave here. Jesus is telling the spirit, I don't know where you're going, but you got to leave here. You got situations, you need Jesus to tell those spirits, I don't know where you're going, but you got to leave here. Help me to grow my faith. But let me tell you, just because Jesus said, go, you know that that demon's going to go. But he wasn't going to go without one more thing. We can't leave without one more thing. Hallelujah. Sometimes Jesus is working in our favor, but the demon's got to do one more thing. The demon came out, but the boy was laying there like he was dead. And everybody's saying, oh, he must be dead. Jesus, you killed him. You didn't heal him, you killed him. What kind of healing is this, Jesus? You killed him. I could have did that. I could have killed him if I wanted him dead. I know you got a nice coat on, but come here. Yeah, right there. He was dead. And Jesus took him by the hand and said, get up and walk. Get up. Get up and walk. See, the enemy, he's going to get you till you're almost dead. And everybody's going to think you're dead. But God is going to come. Jesus is going to take you by the hand and pick you up and say, child, get up and walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The boy was free. Hallelujah. We know a Jesus. Hallelujah. He changes lives. He knows the things that we're going through. Hallelujah. The gospel of Jesus Christ has power. Boy, I want to say something to you anyway, right? Having weak faith is better than having no faith at all. Because then you have a possibility. Your faith can increase. You can say, well, I don't know if I have the faith that I'm supposed to have. Keep working on it. If you don't know that you have the faith that you're supposed to have, Jesus has given you the answer. He said, through prayer and fasting. If you know 99 and a half won't do, 50% won't do. You can't just pray. Sometimes you have to sacrifice something if you really want change to happen in your life. Those things that you really love, you got to give it up. I'm sure Jesus didn't want to die on the cross like he did, but he died for a reason. He sacrificed himself for a reason. There was a change that he wanted to see happen, so he had to make the ultimate sacrifice. You want change, you got to sacrifice. You got to give it up. 99 and a half won't do. Prayer and fasting. Now, ain't that just like the disciples? They waited till they got alone. You know, it's like they didn't want to be embarrassed by the crowd. They didn't want to start asking questions like they really didn't know what they were doing, but they didn't. You ever been in a situation and you thought that you could do something and you couldn't, and somebody came along and did it, and you're looking at them like, and you couldn't wait to get along alone with that person, say, what you do? What you do? And they explained it to you. And when Jesus does something like that, he explains it, and he explains it one time. And he made it simple. This spirit. As a matter of fact, he didn't even identify the spirit. He said, this kind. That means that there's more spirits like that than just that one specifically. So what kind was that? That was the kind that take hold of your body where you have no control. It was the kind that you can have for years. It was the kind that you can pray and pray and pray and nothing happens. It's the kind that you can just bring yourself up to the altar and get prayed for and you still walk out of here and you still got it. It's the kind that you petition for your children, for your relationship, your marriage, and your family, your friends. It's that kind of spirit. He said, this kind. Amen? This kind. Because there was all kind of things going in there. This kind through prayer and fasting. So he explained it to them that way. It was a lesson in spiritual power. Amen? Because their faith that they were used to doing was a ritual. The ritual is just coming and saying, we're going to just pray. Come on, let's hold hands and let's pray. Come on, let's hold hands and let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father. Sometimes that's a ritual with what you're going against. You want dunamis power? How about some dunamis sacrifice? They had to have faith like they never had before. Do you know that sometimes you got to have faith like you never had before? You got to have faith like you never had. Sometimes you think that you have faith. You think that you have great faith until you get in some great situations. The higher you go up in your relationship with the Lord, the more faith you need. Because the more the attacks, the more frequent the attacks, and the more places those attacks are going to come from. You're looking this way and it's coming from there. And you're like that. That's why you put on the whole. Just to cover the front. No, the whole. We are commanded to pray because he has promised to hear our prayers. He has promised to answer our prayers. Amen? But we must also surrender. God is not going to bless you, bless me, bless the church until we surrender. Amen? It is God's will that we have everything in place that we ever need because he's our Father. I said need, not want. Amen? We don't need powerful personalities because Jesus is the most powerful personality that we need. We don't need new trinkets. We need Jesus. Amen? We don't need to become seeker friendly. You know, we don't need to be seeking our people. When the Spirit of the Holy Ghost is in this place, they were going to seek us. They're going to seek the place where Christ is. They're going to seek the place where they hear the Spirit of a living God is. We don't have to put out no flyers and put them on the wall. Come see Jesus. They'll know Jesus is here. Amen? We don't need to change our music to change our message because Jesus is here. We need to keep it simple. We just need to be available. We need is the power of God. We don't need cute things. We need real. The power of God is going to come when we are seriously seeking His face, when we're seriously walking in His ways, when we're really leaning on Him for everything that we need. Sometimes we take those little needs away because we got a little something. You ever see somebody that get a little money, they ain't had no money? You know, people who don't have no money don't know how to handle money. They get a little money and they don't need you no more. And just as soon as they don't have it, they need you again. We treat Jesus the same way. We get a little something from Christ and all of a sudden we don't need Him no more. We ain't leaning like we used to lean on Him. Oh, hallelujah. I said leaning on Him like we used to lean on Him. You know when you're hungry, when you're hurting, and when you need something, when you're desperate, you be leaning on the Lord. But just as soon as He give you a little something, you ain't leaning on Him no more. He gives you a house, you ain't leaning no more. You got your car, you ain't leaning no more. Children are doing all right. They're going to college. You ain't leaning on them no more. But let them start acting up in college. Let that car have an accident. Let all of a sudden the furnace break up in that house and all of a sudden the water heater go and everything and you're cold. Then you start leaning on Him again. Lord, I need money because I need these things fixed. You should never stop leaning on the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scripture said, and they could not. Cathedral of higher praise. Nobody should be leaving this building saying, I came to them and they could not. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? They said, the Father said, and they could not. I came to them for help and they could not. Let us be the church that could. I don't want them coming here when they said, I went there for help and they could not. I came there for fellowship, and they could not. I came there for love, and they could not. I came there for hope, and they could not. I came there for peace, and they could not. I went there for acceptance, and they could not. I went there for Jesus, and they could not. It's not about the music. It's not about the song. It's not about the dress. It's about the Spirit. About the Spirit. It's about the Spirit. It's about the Spirit. It's about the Spirit of a living God. Oh, hallelujah. Let us stand this morning. Hallelujah. Has God spoken to